First off, just like to welcome everybody to the Numerology as a Power Tool teleconference call. We're going to be covering a lot of very interesting information in the next hour. We're going to be covering numerology, really how it works and how it affects your life. We got Dr. Daniel Hart from the Life Path Numerology Center going to be presenting the hardcore facts about numerology and be answering all the questions at the end. Just a quick introduction about myself. My name's Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and I'll be interviewing Dan this evening. We have, with TheBusinessProfessional.com, we interview successful entrepreneurs from all over the world about business and personal development. And this evening, Dan's going to be answering some very pointed questions about numerology and how it affects our life. In case you're not familiar with Dr. Daniel Hart, he's a full-time numerologist, and he's gone from practicing law to being a salesperson, and now for the last 15 years, he's been teaching and writing and counseling and coaching in the numerology field. He's the president and founder of the Life Path Numerology Center in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'd just like to thank you for inviting everybody here today, Dan.
Oh, I'm glad that we had this opportunity. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Let's just start off by taking a look at what is numerology.
That's a basic question because I find most people really don't have any clue. Either they've never heard of numerology or they've heard of it and don't have any idea what it is. It is an ancient metaphysical science, Terry. The roots go way back to prehistory. And as long as we've had writing, there's been some reference to the numbers and to numerology. And to give you some idea of how ancient it is, Pythagoras lived in about 600 B.C. That's about 2600 years ago, and he is considered still to be the father of modern numerology. And, of course, at Life Path Numerology Center, we do follow the Pythagorean method. And he was quite an interesting fellow, very much an initiate into the Egyptian mysteries. He was one of the few non-Egyptians to have that honor. He had established his own school in Italy, and it was so highly regarded that the leaders of the political scene of his day often invited him along on their negotiations in order to bring the effect of numerology to those negotiations. So from the very early days, numerology has had a lot of credence. But in those days, it was hidden from the masses. Pythagoras would not even allow his students to take notes, because he didn't feel that the information should get into the hands of people who would use it unwisely or would abuse it. So from that standpoint, we've lost a lot of his teaching. Now, numerology today is still able to be very beneficial in the political scene. You may recall Nancy Reagan, a consultant and astrologer, and the flack that she took for that. But numerology and astrology are sister sciences. They were all looking at the natural structure of the universe, but we're looking at it from different viewpoints. And numerology uses the energies that the person or the business or whatever entity we're looking at might tune to. Just like a radio tunes to certain frequencies, each individual tunes to certain energies more strongly. And this even applies to other things like pets. It's interesting to do pet readings, or even to non-living entities like your house or your car can also have energy influences that can be determined through numerology. So it's quite a fascinating study.
Wow. So how does it work then if you're going to do a numerology reading on me, for example?
Okay. What we deal with in an individual is the core energies, which are the strongest influence. They are derived from your birth name, because you never leave your birth energies as long as you're on the earth plane. And then we use your birth date and also your birth or your current name, the name that you generally go by. And that tells us a whole lot of information about you. In fact, so much information that a lot of people become a little uncomfortable that I can know so much about them.
So, now that's great. I mean, for me, how would you end up doing a numerology reading on my house?
I would use your address, and the strongest energies would be from the number itself because they're the most direct to you. Then we would also change the or convert the letters of the street name to numbers and take a total of those numbers, and that would give some new, additional insights into that home. Then we would use the combined numbers, and that would give even further insight. Now, the further out you go, the more people are involved in a number, the less impact it's going to have. So the street numbers or name is not going to be as strong as the number. Then we can go to the city and see how you fit into the city in which you live. And the state, sometimes like in Indianapolis, the city is a 6, the state is a 7. Numbers that adjoin each other are in conflict, so the city of Indianapolis does not fit well with the state of Indiana. And if you go throughout the state, you find that that's true, because people outside of Indianapolis may have some animosity toward our fair city.
Wow.
Then we would go to the country and the zip code and all those influences if we want to get a full picture. It really is so detailed that when we're doing a reading, for example, if I'm doing a reading for you, Terry, I would pick and choose which information to discuss, because it's impossible to discuss it all, and it would be dependent on how long a session we're looking for that I would actually see what numbers I need to go into. So I may not even calculate the numbers that are not important to the reading.
Right, okay, yeah. So how did you end up getting interested enough to actually make this a career?
I had first been exposed to numerology probably many years before by just picking up a book from the library, and I thought, oh, that's fun, that's interesting. But it wasn't a very thorough book, and it didn't really pique my interest that much. But then some years later, I was a hearing aid dealer, which is one of my prior incarnations.
Huh?
And in doing that, sometimes the appointments would be slow, or we would have some time in the office. And my manager was a numerologist. And lo and behold, we would sit and do numerology, and I found, to my surprise, that it answered the very questions that I'd been asking myself. Why weren't things working the way I thought they should? What did I need to do to make them work? What kinds of approach should I take? And I found that one of the things that was blocking me was the fact that I have a 13-4 life path, which has a karmic element to it. And that meant that I need to do everything in a very step-by-step manner. And I need to do it in such a way that it's going to produce results even if I can't see what I'm accomplishing at the time I'm doing it. So that helped me so much. And I realized that if it helped me that much, that certainly the numbers would help other people. And throughout my life, I've been very much involved with people. So I said, hey, this is just absolutely great. And numerology is a kind of a study that once you get started with it and you see all these fascinating little angles to it, it just draws you in to the point where you just want to go more and deeper into it.
Yeah,
so that's how I got to become a full-time professional.
That's fantastic. For most people, though, I would say it would probably they'd look at it more of kind of like a fringe practice or almost a hobby. I was going through some information, and I found some people even find that there's almost an anti-religious aspect to it. How do you go about, or how do you address those issues?
That's always an interesting facet because, you see, I come from a very fundamentalist religious background, and I have had that kind of opposition from my own family. The fact is that if you study the Bible, as I have very deeply, for many, many years, probably for 60 years, I've been an avid reader of the Bible, and you'll find that the Bible is filled with numerology. There's just so many different things, and even in the Psalms, I have the quote on my web homepage that says, teach us to number our days. You know, my parents say, oh, that means that you just figure out how long you're going to live.
Right.
No. It's how you number the days. Each day has its own number for you. And you'll find that the Jewish Kabbalah, which has been the wisdom of the Jews for a long time, does involve a lot of numerology. It is not divorced from religion. It is an integral part of it. But you see, what happened was, like so many other things, numerology and astrology and other metaphysical sciences were actually prohibited from the masses so that the priests and the kings could control the masses through this knowledge. And we're bringing it back into the mainstream so that people will become aware and accepting.
Okay, so it's actually something that used to be mainstream, but then it ended up being a fringe, and you're bringing it back.
That's exactly right, yes.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned, I see somewhere, that that numerology is a power tool. What do you mean by that?
Okay, we're going now to the business side of it.
Okay.
And over the years, I've become more and more involved in the use of numerology as a business tool. And incidentally, you might be surprised to find how many Fortune 500 companies even use numerology, but they don't want anybody to know about it. It's kept a secret because of fear of backlash.
Okay.
But the fact is that business numerology can cut through a lot of the muddle that we often go through in making our business decisions. And it's that the reason I call it a power tool is just like with, say you have a handsaw. You can cut that board just fine with a handsaw. But it's going to take you some elbow grease and it's going to take you some time. If you have a power saw, it cuts right through it. And that's why numerology is a power tool, because you can go right to the heart of the matter with very quick information and make your decision and know that it's going to be valid, so you can do it confidently.
Okay.
For example, if I'm looking to hire someone, I can look at that person and I know a lot about that person just by knowing his first name. For example, Terry, with you, I know that just from your introducing yourself to me as Terry, and I would assume the spelling of T-E-R-R-Y, that I'm looking at the first vowel, which is an E. That translates to a 5, and I'm looking at the first consonant, it's a T, which translates to a 2. Now, the 5 is a very curious, active, vibrant, alive, zestful number. The 2 is very passive and laid back and hesitant and sensitive. So what I would say from just knowing your name, that you would want to be approached with a lot of new ideas, but you're going to ponder them before you really jump in. You're not going to be rash and impulsive at it. And you may have a lot of things you really like to do, but you're going to need a little push sometimes just to get into it. So,
well, that's incredible.
Does that fit you at all?
Yeah, very, very much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have Julie on the line. With Julie, I know that she's got a U, which is a 3, and she's got a 1, which is a J. So it's the first vowel is U, the first consonant is J. So Julie is a person with an awful lot of ideas. She's very creative and innovative, particularly in business. And she's not the least bit hesitant to share her ideas. And if you give her a chance, she'll tell you all about it. Now, we've got the line muted so she can't respond, but I have a feeling in the question and answer period she'll tell us whether I'm right or not.
That's fantastic. So you're actually able to tell quite a bit of information from somebody just from the first name.
Absolutely. And that is a tremendous tool for anybody who's in sales. Even in the practice of law, I can relate this to the practice and know that if I have a witness on the stand, I know how to approach that witness to get the results I want just by the first name of that person.
Wow. So how would this affect, I mean, that's an excellent business tool. How would it end up affecting my personal life if I had a reading?
Your personal life would be somewhat in the similar vein. The fact is that in a personal reading, we usually give an overview of what I see in the numbers for that person, and I would look at where they're likely to have roadblocks, where they're likely to have extra help. I'm going to look at the things that are going to need to be worked at, particularly with willpower. I'm going to look at what really motivates them deep down, and it may not always be what seems to be on the surface. Now, I tell my classes right up front that once you learn numerology, you will never look at people the same way again. Just as an example, that I was doing readings up at the Verizon Music Center here, which is a big center, when they were having their Halloween haunted house. And I had a woman come to my table for a reading that my first impression would have been that this is not a very sharp woman. This is a woman who really doesn't have much on the ball. She's just she comes across as being even a little bit slow, perhaps. How wrong my impression, because when I ran her numbers, I found she had master-level energy and had potential that was way beyond what I would have ever dreamed. And when I started describing to her what I was seeing, she confirmed that that was absolutely the case. And that helps me to know that you can't judge by appearances or what the person presents. This was a woman who had great accomplishment behind her, but she was old soft shoe when she came to presenting herself.
Right. That's excellent. Now, what kind of services does the Life Path Numerology Center offer?
We did start, Terry, doing primarily personal readings and written charts and things of that sort that most metaphysical practitioners do. Uh-huh. But as I got into it more, I discovered that actually the business side of it was very fascinating. And I'll just be upfront and honest, that's where the money is.
Okay, yeah.
So as a result, we've changed our emphasis. Not that we've neglected and abandoned the other, but we've changed our emphasis to work with businesses.
Right.
And in working with the businesses, we obviously have to also deal with the numbers of the individual. Because if you have a business and the business numbers don't match your personal numbers, you're going to find yourself burning out very quickly. That business is going to become an albatross around your neck, simply because there's a clash in the energies, and that energy clash is going to drain your energy to the point where you're going to pretty soon hate that business. And it doesn't matter how much you love the work or how much you love the field, it's the business itself, and that depends on the start date. Now, The only way to change that is to incorporate or reincorporate the business and get a new start date on it and get that business cycle on the same cycle as you are so that you can feel more comfortable with it.
So the business works almost the same as the birth date then?
Yes, it does. The only difference or the main difference in working with businesses, obviously if you've got a corporation or a business that is on legal filing, whether it's an LLC corporation, an LTD, or a straight C corporation here, it all depends on that start date. And if it's not an incorporated business, one of our biggest challenges is to determine what the start date is.
Okay.
Because obviously you don't start a business on one day and come to full bloom.
Exactly.
You may have been pondering that idea for 10 years.
So
as a result, we usually establish the start of a business by some significant event in the business. For example, if it's an online business, we might establish it as of the date of the setting up of the website or the first publication of the website. We may establish it from the date of opening a bank account. Or we may establish it from the date on which a store is actually open for business. And once you establish the date, then it becomes set. And the longer you use that established date, the more firm those energies become to that business.
Right. So it's not actually dependent on when the business was registered. It's more dependent on a time within the cycle of the actual individual who started the business.
Well, actually not. I think maybe I was not as clear there. If you register the business, that's the start date.
Okay.
If it's an unregistered business, then we look at these other aspects.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, and we also want to establish the date so that it corresponds with your own energies. Now, for example, when we set up LifePath Numerology Center as a corporation, I went into the Secretary of State's office to do the filing on the day that we determined should be the start date for that business.
Right.
She said, "Oh, thank you for the filing. It'll be filed sometime tomorrow." And I said, "That's not going to work. We need that done today." And she said, "Well, why would that make a difference?" I said, "Because I'm a numerologist, and we have determined that this is the day that we needed for the energies to be right." And she was very much in question. She was one who had not heard of numerology. But fortunately for us, there was another woman sitting there in the office, another employee, who said, "Oh, yes, I know numerology, and I know that he is right. We will get it filed today."
Beautiful.
And it was done.
So you really have to kind of land kind of in with the people who have an interest or a knowledge about numerology for you to kind of have an effect.
It does help. It makes it a whole lot easier, sure.
That's great. Now, with the LifePath Numerology Center, you have classes or something like that, don't you?
We have classes, yes, and I do enjoy the teaching. Quite frankly, I've been told I'm very good at it. In fact, I was offered a teaching position at DePaul University even before I was graduated.
Wow.
But I think maybe sometimes it's my ego speaking. I don't know. I just like being in front of people teaching my knowledge, I guess.
Yeah,
but the fact is that I know that people who know numerology, even if it's on a smattering basis, are going to benefit from it. And so by every time I teach a class, it's going to bring benefit to those people who are in the class. What we're trying to do is about 10 classes a year in various cities throughout the United States and Canada.
Right. Excellent.
We've had classes in South Texas. We were scheduled in Atlanta, and that's been postponed to next year. We're going back to South Texas in the early part of the year. I love going down there in February. It's awfully cold here and nice and warm down there.
So it has nothing to do with numerology?
Not really. I have a client in Hawaii who said, I want to explore and see what interest there is and get you over here. So,
excellent.
I'm always open to that, you know.
Excellent. Another February trip.
Another February, yes. Another reason I do these classes throughout the country and for the general tone is that we do also have professional training classes here in Indianapolis. The next one is going to be on March the 6th. Okay. Now, this is very much for those who want to become professional numerologists. It's leading to certification in the field of numerology.
Okay.
And it's very intense. Prior to the training, we do a four-session training with Anita Narayan from the United Kingdom to learn accelerated learning techniques. That helps us all then to go into the full week of classes here in Indianapolis on an accelerated pace. Now, when you come to Indianapolis for the professional training, you eat, breathe, sleep, study numerology. You're just steeped in it for a full week.
Yes.
And at the end of that week, you should be capable of being certified.